Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 61. In verse 3, Jesus was sent, this is from verse 1, to extend compassion unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, God is constantly looking to give us beauty for ashes. One of the mistakes that we make is we constantly turn to the ashes. God wants to give us beauty for ashes. Beauty is the word pe'ir, and it's talking about a turban. And the idea is to be clothed in beauty. God wants our life to be clothed in beauty. Now, ashes refers to things like mourning, things like death, things like destruction. So what God wants to do is he wants to give us beauty for death or destruction. There's a lot of death and destruction that comes into our lives because we are living in Satan's world system and we have an old sin nature that he targets. Remember, when Satan tempts, when Satan targets you, for that matter, when Satan brings accusation either to your mind as gossip or slander or accusation against you, he is not your friend. He is not doing it because he wants to be on your side. He is not doing that because he wants to add anything to you. He comes to rob and to kill and to destroy. That's his only motivation. He has no other motivation in this world. That is it. So when Satan comes with something like ashes, and it's not that he so much necessarily brings you the ashes per se, he'll cause the ashes, but he gets you to dwell on the ashes, to feed on your ashes. He's not doing it for your benefit. He's doing it for your destruction. Yet believer after believer will trade God's beauty for ashes. God wants to give you beauty. They trade it. They'll take the ashes. Why? Old sin nature. However, the problem with the old sin nature is that it leaves us miserable. In the Garden of Eden, when the old sin nature was created, when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it left them miserable. It did not do them any favors. It left them afraid. It left them separating from each other. It left them magnifying differences. It left them magnifying what they thought were their own shortcomings, which were not. So it was very deceptive. I think that's perhaps the biggest trait of the old sin nature. It's very deceptive. And then it's also destructive. There's no way to build anything on the basis of that. There's no way to be successful within that. If you want a relationship, you don't build it in your old sin nature. If you do, you have a soul power relationship, and that constantly depends on the other person meeting your requirements and you meeting theirs. And the moment that you don't meet those requirements, the person becomes upset with you. Sometimes people divorce because of this. The one didn't meet the other's expectations, as though there was a right for expectations to begin with. You build things on the basis of beauty, that which God creates in you. That's what you build with. The Word of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, the compassion of God. Can you imagine what would happen if people actively brought kindness into their relationships? Can you imagine what would happen if people actively brought patience into their relationships? Forgiveness into their relationships? Compassion into the relationships? You would have very few bad marriages. You would have very few issues between parents and children. You would have very few problems between friends. Employers and employees would get along beautifully. But people don't do that. They bring ashes into their relationships. They feed on ashes for their own personal life. Can you imagine if in your own personal life you brought in beauty rather than ashes? You develop your self-image on the basis of beauty. You develop your self-image on the basis of what God thinks about you. He calls you His beloved. He says you're the apple of His eye. He says you're precious in His eyes. Can you imagine if you built your relationship on the fact that you're accepted by Him, that you're loved by Him, and that He says you're precious? No, people don't build their self-image on that. People build their self-image all too often on what the world has to say about them, on whether they succeed at something or not, in their estimation. They build their self-image on performance. They build their self-image on the negative projections that other people deliver to them. They build their self-image on what Satan has to say about them through other people. They build their self-image on ashes. And what's the result? They have a destroyed self-image. People feed this to their emotions. Can you imagine if you fed beauty to your emotions? You fed the promises of God to your emotions. You fed the love of God to your emotions. You fed the heart of God, the mind of God to your emotions. You fed compassion to your emotions. Can you imagine what healthy emotions people could have? But all too often they don't. They feed their emotions on negativity. They feed their emotions on being offended. They feed their emotions on the things they perceive as being wrong or hurtful or somehow unjust. And they keep feeding on ashes. God wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to give you the oil of joy for mourning. Oil was used in times of celebration. And that's what that's referring to. So He wants to give you this oil of joy, this thing that's used for celebration instead of mourning, and the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Do you know why a lot of people have heaviness in their life? Because they don't praise God. They don't acknowledge God's plan and the perfection and the beauty of it. They don't acknowledge that God has thoughts toward them that are thoughts of peace and not of evil. They don't acknowledge that the plan of God is there for their benefit, their promotion, to give them a very rich and satisfying and fulfilling eternity, and to give them a very rich and satisfying experience in time. They don't realize that. They don't sometimes believe it because they look at the negative experiences and they feed on ashes. So they won't see God's beauty. If you're feeding on ashes, it's impossible to see beauty. If you're feeding on beauty, the ashes will not come to mind. What are you feeding on? Ask yourself this, what are you feeding on? Are you feeding on problems, negativity, things you don't like about people or circumstances, things you wish went better in your life, things that went south in your relationships? Are you feeding on that? You're feeding on ashes if you are. You're feeding on death, you're feeding on destruction, and that's the result of that feeding. Or are you feeding on something different? Are you feeding on the promises of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the compassion, the mercy, the gentleness of God? Are you feeding on all the promises that He gives for your life, specifically on the fact that He has ordered your steps, every single one of them, in order to bring you to a place where you would not only get to know Him, but receive all that He is and all that He does and all the love that He possesses? What are you feeding on? You're going to feed on something. What are you feeding on? In Psalm 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Scornful is the word lutz in the original language, and it means to talk arrogantly, to mock, to boast, to treat or regard with contempt or disdain. So blessed is the man who does not talk arrogantly, mock others, boast, or treat people or regard them with contempt or disdain. This person is blessed if they do not do this. It's astonishing to me sometimes how many Christians do walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. You can't be blessed that way. Do you believe the Word of God? I wish I could ask people this sometimes. Do you believe the Word of God? Then why don't you apply it, if you believe it? What good does it say to believe the Word of God if you have no response to it? Your faith is dead. If you don't apply it, do you actually have faith? James says you don't. If you're feeding on ashes and you're not feeding on beauty, do you have any beauty in your life? No, you don't. It's not possible. On the other hand, if you're feeding on beauty, if you're living in faith, if you're responding to the love of God, is it even possible to sit in the seat of the scornful? No, it's not. It's not possible. Then it continues in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and it's talking about doctrine there. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, a tree planted by the rivers of water always has a source of refreshment. It doesn't matter what the climate is like if a tree is near water. This person, it doesn't matter what their circumstances or experiences are like if they have a source. The Word of God is water. That's typology in the Bible. So if I'm closely related to the Word of God, if I utilize it, if I receive it and apply it, I emphasize and apply it, because if I receive it and do not apply it, it does me absolutely no good. If I receive it and apply it, then it doesn't matter what my circumstance, it doesn't matter what I find myself in, I'm always going to have a refreshment source. He meditates on the Word of God day and night. He doesn't feed on ashes, he meditates on the Word of God. He feeds on the Word of God day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, and its leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, I have a question for any believer who's listening to this. Do you believe that Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3 is the Word of God? Careful with the answer. It is a legitimate question. Do you believe it is the Word of God? Now, why do I say careful with the answer? Because if you say, yes, I believe it, then you will be responsible. Do you believe that this is the Word of God? If that statement intimidates you, then you don't know God too well yet. Do you believe this is the Word of God? Well, if blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly and stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, the mockers, the ridiculers, the arrogant, the boasters, those who treat people with contempt or disdain. If you believe that this is the word of God, then you must believe that this is the person who is blessed, who does not do things like that. And the reason why he is blessed is he does not do things like that. And as a result, his delight is in the law of the Lord, in doctrine. Now, if I do that, my delight as a result will not be the word of God. It's very clear how this works. So if I'm someone who's feeding on negativity, if I'm someone who's feeding on my wounds, if I'm somebody who's feeding on my bad experiences, if I'm somebody who's feeding on whatever bad relationship I may have had whenever, then I will not be blessed, I cannot be blessed, and I have no delight in the Word of God. This is God's Word. It's not ambiguous. It's straight to the point. You will not be blessed. Now, this is a choice. Deuteronomy 30:19, I set before you life and death, choose life. This is a choice. So what do you choose to feed on? If you want to be blessed, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Instead, delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night. Then you will be blessed. Feed on it. Be nourished by it. Let it be your source. Let it be your sustenance. And then you will have a source, no matter what your circumstance, you'll have a source to bear fruit, to stay fresh. You will have a source to be encouraged. You will have a source to be empowered. You will have a source for every detail of your life. Without it, you will not be blessed. Period. It says it right here. It's in your Bible. What are you feeding on? In Isaiah 44:20, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. And he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Ashes, death and destruction. He feeds on death and destruction. A deceived heart has turned him away. Now, deceived in the original language is hatal. It's a pu'al perfect. Pu'al is the passive form of PL. PL is intentional action. So this is not intentional action that the subject commits. This is intentional action that is committed on the subject. The subject receives this intentional action. So something is turning their heart. It's deception and mocking. That's the meaning of hatal. Deception and mocking. That's the scornful. Deception and mocking. Their mocking deceives them. Their scorn deceives them. Their arrogance deceives them. Their contempt and disdain deceives them. They are deceived. And their heart is turned aside. Their mocking spirit has entirely deceived them and led them astray. That's what that's saying. And he cannot, he's not able, he doesn't have the ability, the power, anything. He does not have the ability to deliver his soul, and he cannot deliver his soul. He can't get out of it. Nor say, that is to say, nor recognize that there is a lie in his right hand. That means that he is relying for his strength on a lie. This person will not be victorious. They cannot be. Why am I bringing this up? because there are a fair number of Christians who are in this situation. I will guarantee you there are some people, not most, just some, listening online who God is warning and has been warning. This is a warning to those people. You have a deceived heart that has been deceived through feeding on ashes. Your frame of reference is deceived through negativity, through mocking, through ridicule, through contempt, through arrogance, through boasting, any number of things that constitute ashes. Your heart is deceived. God is looking to give you beauty for your ashes. But where you are right now, some of you, is deceived. And you are frustrated because you are unable to deliver your own soul. The reason for that is because you have taken strength from a lie. That's what feeding on ashes produces. If you feed on negativity, you cannot deliver your soul. If you feed on the things that you think were not right that happened to you, whether it's from circumstances or people or what have you, you will not be delivered. You will not be blessed. You will not be delivered. Thus says the Lord. What do you want? You have two choices. You can have righteousness through a relationship with God that leads to an eternal quality of life, or you can have self-life through iniquity, which leads to destruction. Those are your choices. Why do you choose destruction? Because that's what happens when you feed on ashes. In Isaiah 28:14, therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers. Those of you who are scornful, hear the word of the Lord. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. I never said that. Oh, yes, you did. God says you did. Your negativity is a covenant with death. And with Sheol. So not only is it a covenant with death, it's a covenant with hell. It's a demonic covenant. Your self-oriented thinking that leads you to self-pity is a demonic covenant. Your mocking is a demonic covenant. Your boasting, your arrogance is a demonic covenant. Your contempt and disdain for people, that's a demonic covenant. Because you have said we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, we have an agreement. When the overwhelming chastisement passes through, it will not come to us. If you're negative, you're living in sin. Do you think God will not chastise you if you are saved? He chastens the ones He loves. But these people say to them, I can live like this, I can do this in my life, and I will not experience God's chastisement. That's deception. Most certainly you will, if you are saved. When the overwhelming chastisement passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, in falsehood we have taken shelter. There are people listening who simply need to wake up. You haven't lived in the Word of God and its application, and you have not lived in the love of God and its application. You have not lived in truth. You have ignored what God has to say, excusing yourself. You have made a lie to be your shelter. It's not going to hold you up much longer. It does lead to a very miserable life. Now, those people who do not fear God, such that they do not apply doctrine, those are the ones who are taking shelter in a lie. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, He made everything beautiful in its time. This is a promise from God. God's promises cannot lie. He made everything beautiful in its time. In your negativity, you never consider He made everything beautiful in its time. In negativity, you never consider that God works all things together for good, and the good that He is developing is to conform you into the image of His Son, into the image of love. You do not consider that all things are from God and that they are for your sake, in 2 Corinthians 4:15. You do not consider that the plan of God is there to bless you, and that when you respond in positive response to the plan of God, you will receive that blessing. Instead, when God brings tribulation into your life, some sort of a challenge, some sort of a test, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, you tend to respond negatively through the emotional impact of that challenge. You didn't like it. And so now there's negativity, so you feed on ashes. This leads to all kinds of nasty things in a person's soul. It brings a person to living in self-pity. And then you start to feed on the self-pity. Oh, I've been wronged. But eventually, when you actually haven't been all that wrong, you're going to look for things to be wronged by. You're going to look for other people's experiences. You see this all the time. Doesn't it strike you as strange that there's a lot of people who are very successful, very wealthy, who are doing great as far as the world goes in their lives, and they're looking for something to be offended by, and so they get offended on other people's behalf? Well, you know, Christians can do that too. That's feeding on ashes. Oh, that thing will now offend me, and this here will now offend me. It has nothing really to do with you. Oh, I knew the person, so that is now offensive to me, and I start to assimilate all this negativity, all these offenses, to maintain ashes through self-pity. I'm sorry if you don't like it, but this is the reality of the matter for some people. They don't have to live there, they simply do live there. And the difficult thing is they live there by choice. Now, what do you think that person's rewards are going to be like? It really struck a chord when Spiro Zodiades made that really great statement. When he said, not everyone in heaven is going to live in a mansion. Some people will live in a hut. And they're going to say to God, why do I live in a hut? And He's going to say to them, because this is all you gave me to build with. Do you think it's a joke? It's not a joke. This is your eternal reality. And when you feed on ashes, that will be your eternal reality. Why do pastors say things like this to people? Well, that makes me feel bad, or I feel condemned. Well, knock it off and stop hiding in your condemnation. People do that. Well, basically because of iniquity. But why do you think pastors tell you this? So that you can adjust your relationship to Christ to what it should be before you no longer have the opportunity. That's why. But some people will get defensive about it. And then some people will accept it for a short season, make an adjustment, and then 2 weeks later forget all about it. And then some people will actually be corrected and blessed as a result of it. But that's the pattern. In Ephesians 4:22, put off concerning your former conversation. Conversation is the word anastrophe in the original language. It means manner of life, demeanor, behavior, and conduct. Just because you're a Christian and you're a grace believer, don't tell yourself your behavior doesn't matter. It does. Your behavior is a manifestation of what's going on in your heart. Put off concerning your former conversation, manner of life, demeanor, behavior, conduct, the old man which grows corrupt. Now, that's a present passive participle, which means which is causing to become corrupt. It's becoming corrupt. What is corrupting it? Feeding on ashes. That's what the old nature does. It feeds on ashes. According to deceitful lusts can be subtle. In Genesis 3:3, you have the first example of deceitful lusts. When Satan went to Eve in the form of a serpent, and he said to her in the original language, does it make any sense? Can it really be that God said you shall eat of any tree, but not the best tree? She said, we will not eat of it, nor shall we touch it. That was a deceitful lust. That's lots of information for the enemy. The Garden of Eden had trees, yes, and angels. Ezekiel 31 tells us this. Each tree was associated with an angel. Eve confessed in that statement that she admired the angels because a holy angel would never touch the prohibited tree. She was not told that her standard of living was faith leading to grace. Theirs was holiness. But she admired the angels. And in her admiration for the angels, she said, we will not eat of it. That's God's definition. Nor will we touch it because an angel would never touch this tree. Angels are holy and I admire the angels. Deceitful lust. Now it seemed good, didn't it? I want to be as the angels. Eve, you were never created to be as the angels. That was not your purpose. That was not your design. That was not God's plan for you to be as the angels. God created you for a special and unique purpose. And it's different than that of the angels. It's fine that you appreciate that about angels, but you're not an angel, nor were you intended to be. But she admired it, and in her admiration of it, Satan took advantage. It became a deceitful lust. Just because it's a deceitful lust, it does not mean that it's overtly evil. But it is deceitful and it is a lust. It is a desire outside of the will of God. And in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in the original language is present passive infinitive, to renovate, to make new. So again, it's something that's happening to you, and it's a continuing action. It's renovating you. It's making you new, and it's the spirit of your mind that's doing it. That means that your mind is receiving from the human spirit as he is receiving from the Holy Spirit. Then you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Holy Spirit guides you in all truth. So he's applying the Word of God to your life, and you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, or from God, in true righteousness and holiness. In a true relationship with Christ that brings you into right standing with God, and holiness. Now, God is holy, in Psalm 99, verse 9, and God is love, 1 John 4:16. Holiness is manifested in love. Now in Hebrews 4:16, without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God in Romans 10:17. We mix it with the love of God to give life to our faith in Galatians 5:6. And then we're able to receive the Word of God unto faith and apply it by faith in Romans 1:17, and this renders us just. Holiness and a relationship with God, a relationship with God through the love of God. And now you have something that will feed you. Something that will sustain you. Now you have something to feed on. Now you're able to have beauty in your life rather than ashes. What are you feeding on? Are you feeding on the Word of God? Are you feeding on the love of God? Are you feeding on His promises, His compassion? Are you feeding on the definitions that He gives that define who you are? What are you feeding on? In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that renewing of your mind through the love of God and that relationship with Christ will also prevent you from becoming worldly. There's lots of worldly Christians. The language is worldly, the thinking is worldly. The motivations are worldly, the goals are worldly. There's lots of worldly Christians. And it's not wrong to get ahead in the world, but you don't let that become your portion. That you may prove as dokimazo, recognize as genuine, that you may recognize what is the genuine and good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, soundly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. Think correctly. Think correctly. Finally, brethren, in Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, whatever things are of Christ in John 4:16, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, that's honorable, whatever things are just, that's diakaios, means innocent. That's the Romans 1:17b, just, live by faith. It means of faith brought about by a relationship manifested in the application of doctrine. It's brought by faith in a relationship with Christ manifested by the application of doctrine. That's just. Whatever things are pure, uncorrupted, whatever things are lovely, prophyles in the original language, friendly toward. Do you think friendly toward people? Or do you think unfriendly toward people? What are you feeding on? Paul is telling you what to feed on here. What are you feeding on? Whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, arete, valor or mental excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Not just, oh, they came to mind and then they left again. Meditate on them. Feed on them. Masticate them. Get away from the negativity that is toxifying your life. And instead, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. The things you were taught, the things you received, the things you heard, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Some of you wonder, why does my life suck? Well, there you have it. You feed on ashes. That's why. Try feeding on beauty. And then it won't suck. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.